The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Boy, there's... you want to talk about the guy who I believe is positioning himself to run for president of the United States and is a guy that continually seems to impress people on both sides of the aisle, and that is Ben Sasse. Yesterday he gave a great speech on the floor of the Senate and some advice to President Donald Trump. I don't even know what to say while we're there in Washington. They couldn't even get the skinny repeal done of Obamacare. The Republicans are absolutely 100% totally worthless. And the reason why John McCain came back, we begin there right now.
Of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
In 30 minutes, we have something about healthcare that you need to know. I'm tired of waiting around for Congress. What are you going to do? What are we going to do? As a company, how am I going to be able to afford the ever-increasing costs? Because they're not going to go down. Anything that Republicans even are trying to do are not going to make your healthcare premiums or your deductibles go down. Just not going to happen. They are forcing us into a single payer system. Well, there is a carve out and there is something that you can do about it. And we're going to tell you about it coming up in just about 30 minutes. We have Michael Gardner on. He is the communications director for a new style of healthcare, and I want you to hear about it. It may be very useful for you and your family. So why did John McCain come back, after the diagnosis and the revelation of brain cancer, had a major surgery, and things are bad for John McCain? And I don't want to say anything bad about John McCain, because I do believe he was a patriot back in the 1960s. What he did is still one of the most incredible stories of valor, I think, in the American military. I think what he did in the Hanoi Hilton is something that I know I've already taught my kids. With that being said, that was then. This is now. He is a guy that is a leader of the progressive arm of the Republican Party. And he came back because we now know there were about 14 Republican senators who did not want to go home and say, I voted against Obamacare. I'm sorry, I voted against the repeal of Obamacare. They needed to be able to keep their promise. They needed a fall guy. And that fall guy was John McCain. Because John McCain, you can't criticize him now. He has brain cancer. You can't criticize him now because everybody's in this. He's an elder statesman. He's got brain cancer. And he's in full-fledged legacy building. If he would die tomorrow, I guarantee you the Republicans would rally around and they would pass some sort of John McCain healthcare system that would be just as progressive, if not worse, than what the Democrats had. So John McCain came back and he gave this eloquent speech against, pretty much everything we stand for. He did say we all have to come together. I'm for coming together. But on what? On principles. He gave this eloquent speech, and Stu will give us an update here in a second because he was up till 2 o'clock in the morning watching this debacle. John McCain is cobbling everybody together. He is not trying to cobble together the Republicans. He's trying to cobble together the Democrats. And he is trying to get the Democrats to write this bill. Please, can we use common sense for a second? it was the Democrats that built this bill. So I know a lot of Democrats who say, Glenn, there's some good things about Obamacare. Well, I don't agree with you, but this was built as a Trojan horse. It was built to fail. So we would go into a single payer system. That's not opinion. That is fact by one of the designers. And it's we have it and we've played that audio for years. It's not a Trojan horse. It's right there.
Someone once said to me, this is a Trojan horse for a single payer. And I said, well, it's not a Trojan horse, right? It's just right there. I'm telling you, we're going to get there.
Okay. So it was built for that purpose. So to include the people who have, let's say they had honest intent. They really thought they were doing the right thing. And they really thought that this was going to bring your premiums down by $2,500. You would save $2,500 a year. Why would you go to those people who were that wrong? Because you have a different agenda. And the agenda is a single payer system. Because you believe that is right for whatever reason. Because we're going to save the world or we control the power. But that's what's happening. John McCain is right in the center of all of this. Because he's bulletproof at this point. Now, quickly tell me what happened last night around 2 o'clock in the morning.
Well, they had a...
Hang on, your microphone is...
Hello.
Pat's microphone or Stu's microphone is not working. So let me go someplace else, and then we'll come back to you for the update. While all of this was going on, we had Ben Sasse. Ben Sasse was on the floor yesterday. Ben Sasse was on the floor, and this is what Ben Sasse said.
I've come to the floor to keep my promise and to offer a word of humble advice to the president. If you're thinking of making a recess appointment to push out the attorney general, forget about it. The presidency isn't a bull, and this country isn't a china shop.
He gave some more advice, and I really want to do the same. Mr. President, the people are hurting. They are really, really hurting. They trusted you to be able to bring their cost of health care down. The reason why health care is so expensive is because of government and big business collusion. It is not because we need more government. It is because the government is colluding with business. We need less government, and we need to punish those businesses that were colluding, were intentionally jacking up prices because they could, because you were giving them benefits. That's what the American people want. The American people want their healthcare costs to come down, and the American people also really want to take care of people who don't have healthcare. Who can't for some reason or another. Not the people who are just like, you know what? I'm just going to write poetry on the beach. And that's what I'm going to do. Well, good. And if a whale comes and beaches on top of you and breaks all of your bones, you made the choice to be a deadbeat on the beach. You had the opportunity. You wouldn't work for it. If you're not trying at all, if you have no skin in the game at all, I can't help you. And I don't think Americans want to help you. We might feel bad for you. We will carry you off on the beach and we might even help you reset your bones, but we're not going to pay for it because you made the choice. Now, those who don't have health care because of pre-existing conditions, who are working their brains out and can't make ends meet, they've done everything. They're playing by the rules, but they don't have the talent or they don't have the job or they don't have the aptitude to be able to make enough money to be able to afford health care because government has made it unaffordable for so many people. We're going to help those people. Why can't we get there? Because that's not the game they're playing in Washington. That's not what they're doing. And if Donald Trump wants to fulfill his promises, that's the conversation he should be having with the American people and with the GOP. He should be excoriating both sides. But he just wants a deal done because he's a winner and he wants to win and he wants to be tired of winning. So he just wants a deal. That's not what leadership does. We hired you, Mr. President, because you are the deal maker. You're the guy that can bring everybody to the table and get something done. You haven't done that. And it requires a leader not just to come in. A leader is not a mediator. A leader is not somebody who is neutral and just says, come on now, guys, let's get something done. A leader says, this is where we're going. And Mr. President, you haven't put that dot on the horizon. Your dot is just to repeal or replace, skinny bundle, all of it, none of it, have more, have less. That's not leadership. And what's lacking in the GOP is what? They told us that they needed to have the Congress, they needed to have the Senate, and they needed to have the White House. We've given all of that. And then, because Donald Trump is Donald Trump, he's given the American people and the GOP an extra bonus. He has given them a distracted press. If Donald Trump was buttoned up, had Ted Cruz won, we would not be having, we would have no distractions. The press would be all 100%. Look at how many people they want to die on the streets. Trying to repeal or reform Obamacare would be nonstop 24/7 coverage about how evil Republicans are because they want everyone to have cancer. In fact, they are going to the hospitals and taking blood out of cancer patients and they're putting it into little babies. That's what the coverage would be now. But because Donald Trump, either by hook or by crook or by ineptitude, what's happening? They're distracted. So what are they missing? What do they need this time? Mr. President, here's what they need. A leader. They need one person to say, this is where we're going. This is the point on the horizon. This is what America really is. This is compassion, and this is clean capitalism. The only thing we lack in Washington is one focused leader. The GOP has everything they need to pass. They won't. They continue to shoot themselves in the legs. And it will continue forever. We will tell you, defund the GOP and the DNC. Don't give either of them a single dime. Back in a second, we'll give you an update on what happened last night. And then an actual solution. You want to reduce your health care? You want to reduce your premiums? I think we may be able to help you on that in just a few minutes. Right now, our business requires a lot of travel. Does yours? If so, and you have a business like mine where you are trying just to make ends meet, you're fighting for every penny, you have to find the best way to travel, the most inexpensive way to travel without having, you know, your employees flying, you know, like chickens. Which, by the way, they don't. If you travel for business, stop wasting your time and your employees' time pricing out flights and hotels at the same old sites. There is a much better way to buy business travel now. It is the only site that we now use. It's Upside.com. Here's the Upside difference. They bundle the flights and the hotels together for one low price. So you say, I want to go to this city around this time, and I want to stay at this hotel. They say, great, we can give it to you at this price, and it's usually a stunning price. However, if you'll fly an hour earlier or if you will take a hotel that is just as nice, but it's a block further from your destination, we'll give you this price. Every single dollar you save goes right to your company, so your company is happy. Every dollar that you save also goes to an Amazon gift card that goes to you, so you're happy. The airlines fill the seats, the hotels fill the rooms, so they're happy. This is an absolute win-win. There are no losers in this, which makes it so unbelievably powerful. Upside.com. It's the real deal. Forget how you used to buy your business trips. Try Upside.com. When you use the promo code Beck right now, you're going to be guaranteed at least a $100 Amazon gift card your very first trip. So if you're a business leader, make sure everybody in your company is doing this. If you are an employee, do it. Get the at least $100 gift card on your first trip from Amazon by going to Upside.com. Save your company a whole bunch of money and be the hero. Upside.com, see site for complete details. Minimum purchase is required.
I will make a stand. I will raise my voice.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Sign up for the newsletter and get all the info you need to know at glennbeck.com.
Okay, welcome to the program. So Stu stayed up last night.
I did.
To actually watch.
Thank you, I guess.
Yeah, to actually watch the healthcare bill just go down in flames yet again. They've tried everything now. Tell me what happened.
It was amazing. They thought it was going to pass, absolutely. And they decided to bring, they had a couple votes they had to get through. The first vote was something the Democrats wanted, which was basically to start the process over again, send it back to committee. Everyone knew that was going to fail because the Republicans wanted to pass it through. So they started approaching this vote, which was going to give you this skinny repeal. Now, skinny repeal, despite the Democrats' claims that it was essentially genocide, number one, basically all it did was get rid of the individual mandate. I mean, they had a couple of other taxes that were delayed for a few years, like the medical device tax and the Cadillac tax and a couple of other things. There were a couple of other regulations. But I mean, when you talk skinny, it was really skinny. I want to say there's four. Someone posted something that it was 419 sections of Obamacare that exist. And this repealed eight of the 419.
And they couldn't even get that done.
So, but they thought they had it done. And when I say have it done, it's not going to be law. All it was going to do was send it to committee so the House and Senate could work on a real law.
They
right?
couldn't even come up with a bill to send to committee.
That's it. They weren't even trying to pass this law. They just wanted to get it to the conversation in which they could try to come up with something with the House. And that was something that was so overt that Lindsey Graham and John McCain and others came out yesterday and said, hey, we think the law, the skinny repeal thing, is a disaster. We don't want it as law. The only way I'll vote for it is if the House promises that they won't just approve it. Because we want to just go to committee. That's how overt they were about this process.
So I got an email from somebody in D.C. at 2.07 a.m.
Mm.
Extremely lame leadership. Mitch McConnell needs to urgently be replaced.
I mean, you know what? Because you pushed a lot on you made points on Trump, which were totally valid. I mean, I think him giving you the distraction is a real benefit.
Now is the GOP. Now is the time. Mm-hmm. He's got everybody distracted.
Yeah. And so the failure here, because they went in, they thought they were going to have it pass. John McCain, who comes in, Mr. Legacy Building,
yeah,
as a hero to cast the 50th vote to get it to this point, comes in and crashes the thing because nobody can criticize him. You're totally right on that. But here is a point where they can do really anything they want.
It is the old car ads. My boss is out of town for the week, mm-hmm, and so I'm cutting the prices. Things are crazy here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's going to be pissed when he gets home.
I might lose my job. That's exactly what the GOP yeah has.
And is there
the
anything?
The boss doesn't care. He'll sign it.
Yep.
Yes.
He will sign whatever you have.
Yep.
He doesn't care. And he's got not only him, but all of the stupid reporters that are following him, mm-hmm, all paying attention to him.
All looking the
watch
other way.
The other hand. There's nothing. The other hand is in the pocket.
You want this brand new Mercedes for $9,000? Here's the time you can do it. There's no one stopping you. So clearly, and we have no problem criticizing Donald Trump on the show. We've done it many, many times.
He's given
this
the GOP
fault of Congress.
This is he has given them a gift.
Yeah.
The biggest gift in our lifetime. The press isn't paying attention. And you can't do anything.
Pathetic.
A real solution that will affect your pocketbook tomorrow. Next.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
By the way, if you think House of Cards is true to life, to Washington, D.C., watch Game of Thrones. That is much more like Washington, D.C., I think, than House of Cards. If you are having a problem with your deductible, I can't tell you how many people are in this audience that now have a $5,000, $6,000, $10,000 deductible and are still paying $1,000 to $2,000 a month in medical insurance. It's unworkable. There is one carve-out in Obamacare, and Michael Gardner is the communications director for something called MediShare. Now, this is not insurance, but it has been around now since 1993, and the average monthly cost for a family is about $350. There are 300,000 MediShare members across the country. Since their inception in 93, members have shared more than $1.2 billion in medical expenses, and they have a network of 700,000 medical providers. $350 a month is the average cost.
For a family, that is insane.
So let's go to Michael Gardner. Hello, Michael. How are you?
Hello. I'm great, Glenn. Good morning.
Tell us about how this works and how we can help you and where you're the strongest in the country.
Sure. Well, you know, MediShare is a healthcare sharing program, and it's based upon the idea of people coming together in community to share one another's medical bills. And so you mentioned we have 300,000 members all across the country who've been doing that, and it keeps the cost very low, as you said. It's very affordable, around $350 for a family, and we can talk a little bit more about how it works.
Okay. Let's do that. So I don't really think that there's a. I know there is legally. But I think this is the idea of insurance. We all pool together and share each other's burdens because we're not all going to have cancer. We're all going to have problems from time to time, but we can all do it together. So tell me exactly how it works.
Sure. Here's one of the things that we point out is that it's not insurance, and here's why. This is based upon the idea of direct, voluntary, member-to-member sharing. So I mentioned the fact that this is based on a community, and it really truly is, because I know each month who it is I'm sharing with. So I'll actually get a notification that says, you've shared this month, along with maybe 50 other people in the community, to meet this person's $100,000 medical need. And the great thing is that I can reach out to that person. I can send them a note of encouragement. I can let them know that I'm praying for them. And I also know people that share with me, should I have a need. And those people can communicate with me. So this is quite different from insurance for a couple reasons. You know, the money's not pooled. Like I said, it's direct member-to-member sharing, my sharing account to your sharing account. And people can actually communicate with one another. We obviously don't give protected health information away, so I don't know exactly what that person needs unless they choose to disclose it to me. But I can communicate with them. And our members really do value that sense of community. We're a faith-based organization, and so, you know, the two common denominators and things that members really value are faith and the fact that they can come together in community to support one another.
Okay, so this isn't like a crowdsourcing funding like, hey, I've got cancer and I've got to make a case to the group. Everybody can pull into this pool if they have a problem, and then the members are notified. You know, it's not like you're voting every month or you're having to be sold which person to help, right?
You're right. I think that's, I think, one of the common misconceptions about the way healthcare sharing programs work is that, you know, there's somebody in a back office who's looking at a bill and on a whim decides whether or not it should be shared. That's not the case at all. Our sharing program is governed by member voted guidelines. So members do have a say in what's shareable and what's not shareable. And so changes to those guidelines require a vote by the members. But that's how basically bills are processed.
So you might get
on those guidelines.
You might get a notification and you're all voting on, let's say, We're not going to share, facelifts. But if somebody's coming from war and they need, some sort of plastic surgery, we're going to cover that. And you would vote on those kinds of rules.
Yeah, exactly. As widespread changes to the guidelines, the guidelines are published. They're available on our website. Anyone can take a look at them prior to joining and becoming a member, so they understand how the program works. And we have people here who can talk to anybody and help them understand what this would look like for their particular family situation.
Okay, correct. So you have, it says, an extensive network of more than 700,000 providers. Is that a lot? That sounds small in the country.
You can go anywhere,
is that a lot?
Right? I think you can go anywhere, right? It's just you have a specific network that you're, kind of a preferred network.
That's right. That's absolutely right. Yes, you really can see any provider that you want, whether they're in that network or not. The benefit of choosing an in-network provider is obviously that your out-of-pocket cost would be lower for choosing a provider.
So, Michael, why isn't this everywhere? Why? I mean, because I'm going to join just because $350,000 or $350 a month. I just want to help people pay for their health care. Why wouldn't I be doing this as a company instead of the stupid stuff that I'm doing right now? Why wouldn't I, as a company, just sign everybody up for this?
Right. We can talk to if any of your listeners are out there and want to look at this as an option. That's the great thing about MediShare, is I think there are probably thousands of people listening right now who feel trapped or like they have a very narrow choice. MediShare really offers a great option. As you mentioned, you can choose your monthly amount based upon the level of financial responsibility that you want to take on. So there are lots of different options. And I can say, for my family, I want to have a lower monthly cost. And so I can choose a $5,000 annual household portion. And that means that I know I'm going to pay the first $5,000 of my own bills before the rest of the members join in sharing. And so people can really tailor this. So I'm not really sure why it's not more widespread. We're just, we're thankful to help get the word out about it as a viable option that really does work.
Hang on just one thing. Do you do company plans?
We do have options available for churches, nonprofit groups, those types of things as well. Remember, we're a faith-based community, and so there is a statement of faith that members do need to agree with to join, and so that may limit this for some people, but certainly it's an option for people as well.
Because that would be the thing, if you're applying it to a whole company, not everyone who works at this company necessarily is someone.
Yeah, but
who,
boy, oh boy, could I mean, we're a faith-based company. I mean, one of our principles is the company is owned by God, not by us. We're working for him.
Right.
Right, but still, when you're talking about individual players,
there's
lines there. Is it true that there are certain restrictions on your actual behavior? When you say like a statement of faith, like you would say, I thought I remember reading something like you shouldn't be drinking, for example, or certain behaviors that you would want to limit as part of joining something like this.
Sure. Yeah, there are certain lifestyle guidelines that we ask people to abide by as well. Refraining from any kind of tobacco use is one of them. Making sure that people don't abuse alcohol or prescription drugs or use illegal drugs. So certainly there are some lifestyle guidelines, including those, that we do ask our members to abide by.
What is the difference?
Quite honestly, I would rather have the choice to say I'm going to limit tobacco or alcohol, so no abuse of alcohol. I'd rather have the choice to do that as a free member of society than have what's happening we just talked about yesterday with the NIH, where they say, oh, your BMI is, over, so no hip replacement for you. Oh, you've smoked, so no, and you have no other choice. There's a lot of people. I mean, if you are struggling and you have a $5,000 deductible and a $1,500 a month payment, and it's the choice between your cigarettes and your children being able to survive or be thrown onto Obamacare, my gosh, am I giving up those cigarettes to do this? what are your priorities, honestly?
Right. That savings is really, we hear lots of stories from members, and we've had members who've had stage 4 cancer. We've had, there's some stories on our website, a young boy who needed an emergency appendectomy, a baby born with spina bifida. We've had individual needs of more than $1 million each. They're really significant needs that are being met, all while people are able to experience this savings monthly. We're hearing about, cost savings of $500 or $600 a month over alternatives. But the really great thing that we hear from people is about what they do with that savings. This is a community, and people are able to take that savings And, you know, we've had people say, I started my own small business. I didn't think I was going to be able to do that. You know, I've had another child. I didn't think I was going to be able to do that because of financial limitations. Or, you know, I've decided to go into ministry or to adopt a child. So it's really the impact that people were able to have when you know, you free up that money so that they can do better things for the kingdom and for the community.
I would like to encourage you to, if you could go to this, if you're saving $600, save five and put an extra $100 in to be able to help the people that, no, I mean, if you have the option and you're saving $600 a month, that is so much money. Take 25 of it. And can they buy into a bigger option or a bigger plan or something that would actually help put more money into the coffers to be able to share the burden?
We do have members who choose to do that. We have a program called Extra Blessings. And so people do make contributions voluntarily to that to help cover other needs that members may have as well. Absolutely.
That is fantastic.
Can you talk a little bit about how, because people would say, well, if you're not insured, you're violating Obamacare and you're breaking the rules. This is one of the one good sentences in Obamacare breaks out an exemption for organizations like yours. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. Yeah, it is good for healthcare sharing ministries because if you're a member of a healthcare sharing ministry, you know, the individual mandate says you need to have some sort of healthcare coverage. And while Medicare is not insurance, there is a provision in the Affordable Care Act that says being a member of a healthcare sharing ministry meets that requirement. And so you're not subject to those financial penalties as well. So that's another great thing for members.
One more thing, because I've heard this a million times when people talk about Medicare and other similar types of services, they say, wait a minute, it's not insurance. You're not guaranteed to get your medical bills paid, and you're going to pay into this every month, and then something bad's going to happen, and you're not going to get your money.
Mm-hmm.
So is that true? Is there anything to that?
There isn't a guarantee, and that is true. However, you know, I think the track record of the programs really speaks for itself that since 1993, $1.2 billion has been shared. And so, you know, our members have been faithfully sharing for a long, long time, and I have no reason to think they're not going to continue to do that in the future. You know, it's that community aspect that, you know, people were based upon the idea of, you know, the early church in Acts, and so people are called to lift one another's burdens, and that's really, truly what our members value.
And I have news for you. You know, you're not legally bound. Okay, sure. But it's like these people who, you know, talk to me about, no, the banks and the FDIC, legally bound, you have $250,000, you may not get your money back if you have it in Bitcoin or whatever it is, gold. Okay. All really the Fed and everything else is just a belief that we have, you know, your faith in a company that it will be solid and that I'm going to get my money back at some point, or they're going to provide insurance. All you have to have is faith that instead of a company, you have to have faith in people, that people's general nature is not going to change, that people want to be good. The reason why this is faith based is because they know that people of faith who have something bigger, I'm just speaking for you and tell me if I'm wrong, because they have something bigger than themselves, they know that they will most likely continue to do this. So you're just putting your faith out of an insurance company and into people. I trust people much more than a company.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, that's the idea behind being a faith-based organization, and certainly having a shared statement of faith is that, you know, people are approaching this with the same worldview, with the same sense of values. And you know, we want to make sure that people understand that. Absolutely.
I love this. Michael, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
But I hope we can talk again. It's Medishare.com. Is that right? Do we have that? Yeah. Just look for Medishare. But the average monthly cost is $350.
MyChristianCare.org. Is that right?
Yes, MyChristianCare.org.
Yeah, MyChristianCare.org.
Check it out. Might save your family a lot of money.
And Jeffy, not yours, because there's no way with the restrictions of you have to be a good person or at least trying to be that you'll ever get this coverage.
You tired of being tired? Tired of tossing and turning well into the night? Tired of waking up, find yourself drenched in your own sweat? Get rid of your heat-trapping mattress. Get rid of the uncomfortable mattress that you have. Sleep cool and comfortable and through the night. Casper has two high-tech foams that guarantee that you have a great night's sleep. Cool, comfortable, fully supported every night. And it ships in a box so small that you're not going to believe that it actually holds a mattress, which makes it easy to get it from the front door to your bedroom. It's a little teeny box. You know, my wife, my kid, my Rafe, who is like a skinny rail, could barely, you know, pick up an egg, it looks like, is, you know, carrying this into the bedroom. You open it up and believe it or not, there's a mattress in there and it is really comfortable. The reason why they do it this way, because it's easier and better to find out if that mattress is right for you after you've slept on it for at least a couple of weeks. They give you 100 nights. If it's not the best mattress ever, ship it back. Actually, call them and they'll ship it back. They'll come and pick it up. All you have to do is call this number, Casper.com, promo code Beck. You're going to get $50 off the purchase of your mattress. Casper.com, terms and conditions do apply. 100 nights, you sleep on it, you don't love it, return it. You're going to love it as much as we love ours. It's Casper.com.
Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BECK.
Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Hello and welcome to the program. This is quite an amazing, it's quite an amazing thing. I'm trying to figure out why. They've been around since 1993. They don't have, you know, there's not people going, don't, I joined that and then they never paid my medical bills. They pay the medical bills.
You're talking MediShare here.
Yeah, I'm talking MediShare. You can go to mychristiancare.org and find it. This is a carve out of the Obamacare. And it's not somebody who's like, hey, I'm going to do this. They've been doing this since 1993. And this idea is, why don't we just pool our resources together and help each other? And I think this is so much closer to a new sort of, you know, this feels like the future, doesn't it? This feels like everything that's coming from Silicon Valley. The idea is 2,000 years old. But if you're struggling, the average cost is $360 a year or a month for a family. That's remarkable.
This is
Bill O'Reilly next.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Hello, Americans. It's Friday, which means Bill O'Reilly is here.
What? Yeah, I thought this was a safe space where I could listen and not be offended.
No.
He is going to say something politically incorrect and offensive. I know it.
Yep. He probably will.
No.
And it's not a safe
space. How could you have that beast on?
Let's just get right to it. Rip the Band-Aid off. Here's Bill O'Reilly. We begin right now.
Of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I can't believe it.
Okay, I could give you Don Imus. We'll go with Bill then. Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com is with us now. Hello, Bill.
What's the matter with you people?
And it begins. Another crazy week in Washington. Americans can't catch their breath. Bill, how was your week?
Yeah.
What is on the top of your list?
The skinny bill.
Mm. We're not good at skinny anything, but go ahead.
I was surprised that John McCain voted to basically keep Obamacare in place. Weren't you surprised, Beck? I was so surprised about that.
Why? John McCain is the leader of the progressive arm of the Republican Party. I mean, he's a big government guy. He's I mean, this doesn't surprise me at all. That's who John McCain is. That's who he is.
Well, I mean, his state, the people in his state have been harmed pretty much the most of all Americans by the rising costs of health care insurance.
Bill, he is
a huge issue in Arizona.
Let me give you a perspective to hear your rebuttal of it. John McCain has been a progressive Republican since the 80s, 90s. He has become the Edward Kennedy of the Republican Party. He is now, and I say this with all sympathy, he is now dying. He has brain cancer. He was brought back to be the liberal lion of the Republican Party to give cover for probably 10 Republicans who did not want to say they were going to vote against health care, had to, but want to keep Obamacare. He came in. This is legacy building for him. He thinks he's going for a greater government cause.
The theory that McCain is somehow a closet liberal guy, I don't buy it, because if you look at his foreign policy and if you look at his record on social issues.
No, but wait, hang on just a second. Wait. That's not, you're talking liberal. I'm talking progressive. There's a huge difference between liberal and progressive.
Yeah, I understand that. But where the nexus crosses is in social issues. Liberal and progressive social issues pretty much down the line. The politically correct society we have that you guys are just whimpering about. I mean,
Go ahead. Now, you can be wrong. I'll give you 2 minutes to be wrong. Yeah. Go ahead.
Put tape on his mouth. All right. I think this is about Trump. I think McCain despises Trump so much because of the POW comment during the campaign that he knew. Because it doesn't make any sense as his pal Lindsey Graham and all of the other people that he's close to or in Hatch in the Senate would say to him, look, all this does, this skinny bill, is take out 3 or 4 of the most egregious parts of Obamacare, which McCain cannot support. The mandate that you have to buy insurance, the mandate anybody employing more than 50 have to give insurance to everybody, the tax on medical devices, which the liberal Democratic Party doesn't like. So I think it's about McCain basically saying to himself, I really despise Trump, and I think Trump should be out of there, and I'm going to make it almost impossible for Trump to have any kind of legislative victories. That's what I think this is about.
Well, you know, I appreciate the conspiratorial.
Running into my brilliance, I understand you.
No,
guys.
I mean, I appreciate the conspiratorial nature of that.
No,
but
no,
I deal in facts.
Conspiratorial, though, it's
Bill.
Based on facts.
I mean, because I think that's
look, he loathes Trump. McCain loathes him.
I agree.
Everybody
no doubt.
Knows
I agree.
Yes, he does.
I agree with you.
I think that's probably part of it. But
that's
isn't
what
it,
this is all about?
Isn't that something that Trump should know? And it is the downside of him doing this stuff.
Nobody thought that this was going to happen. Pence actually had to stay up late. You know, Pence is in bed at 9:30 every night.
Mm-hmm. Not that late.
He had to stay up late and was calling McCain saying, you can't do this to the party. See, that's what the appeal was to McCain. Look, make sure that the skinny bill passes. It'll go back to Ryan in the House of Representatives. They'll put other things in it, which they promise to do, then it'll come back to you. And then if you have an objection, you can vote against it. Okay? But give us, the Republican Party, a victory and send a message to the American people that we're not totally impotent.
So I think John
refused to do it.
I think John McCain, you're right, hates Donald Trump. But I think John McCain hates the Tea Party. And the conservative wing, the small government constitutionalist, the Massies, the Freedom Caucus, the Mike Lees, much more than he hates Donald Trump. Now, he may be on fire for Donald Trump, but there is a long history of him just despising these Tea Party constitutionalist people.
He's also terrible on immigration.
I mean, I think you're correct there, but I don't think that was paramount. That was the paramount motivator for McCain shocking his entire party and giving the Democrats a huge victory. Do you guys understand how the Democrats are feeling today? They are just walking on air.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Number one, I know. They protected the enormous entitlement of Obamacare, which is, and number two, they've damaged Trump again. Trump looks like he can't get anything done. All right. So McCain handed his opposition. And plus, I got to say that the people of Arizona, I mean, I know McCain is at the end of the road. And I respect McCain. Everybody should know that listening to the Glenn Beck program today. I respect him. I don't think that he's a person that's trying to hurt his country. I do agree with you that he doesn't have any use for the far right, for conservative principles in general, that he's a so-called moderate. But this was all about sticking it to Trump. I know that that's what this vote was all about.
Okay. I think it played a role in it. I think that he is not a liberal. He's not a moderate. He is a deep progressive that, just like in the early 20th century, there's two kinds of progressives. One that want to control you for all kinds of reasons, and then the other to control you for all kinds of other reasons. It's all about control in the end, and they truly believe that the best thing for the country is to have government control the big things in your life. It's always been that way. I truly believe he believes in big government health care. This, he also had the extra motivation because he despises Donald Trump. So it was a twofer, because this is now going to leave the GOP as completely worthless, could give the House and the Senate to the Democrats, and they will reform and they will go to a single payer. And Donald Trump will be more than happy to work with them in a year and a half. Guarantee you.
I don't think so. I don't think Trump's going to work with the Democrats.
How?
That's conjecture down the road. But you're look.
If they try to pass,
if the party's on the ropes.
Go ahead.
And it's on the ropes for two reasons. They can't pass any kind of reform about Obamacare, and Americans who voted for the Republicans want that. And number two, there's just continuing chaos in the White House, which I want to talk about after you break, and paying your bills and your enormous salary. We have to do that.
My enormous salary.
Yeah, come on, Jack. I mean, you got servants fanning.
Oh, no, I know. I know, Mr. $25 million a year so I could get out of a car. I know. All right. So let me ask you this question, and then we'll take a break.
What?
Spectacular defeat here. One, is there another chapter in the Obamacare thing that has a chance of being passed, or is this done until the midterm? Two, what does this mean for any meaningful tax reform, more or less likely?
Well, the tax reform now, this is desperation time for the Democrats, for the Republicans, excuse me. So they have to do it. And I think they will. But the fight is going to be about the tax cuts for
the wealthy,
who are affluent. Yeah, that's what it's going to be. So if you are a wealthy person like you are back in this country, don't expect a tax cut because you're not going to get it. But I think they will be able to pass it before the end of the year, because if they don't, it's all over. And then they'll come back to Obamacare probably in the fall. They'll McCain and Schumer will be holding hands. They'll be doing the Lombada, and it will work it out. But it's all BS. And at this time next year, maybe they'll have another vote. But it's all about giving away free stuff. That's really what Obamacare is about: income redistribution, free stuff, unlimited Medicaid to people who don't have a lot of money. That's what it's all about. And the Republicans and Democrats are never going to agree on that. Ever. It's just a philosophy of the two parties. But I do expect I do expect the Republicans to ferociously pursue the tax cut, because that's the end. They can't do that. That's the end. Not just in 18, but that for 20 and for everything else, people just walk away.
Okay.
I had a letter that said, well, we're not going to vote for Democrats, we being the Trump supporters. And I said, I know that. You won't show up. That's why Hillary lost, because her people didn't show up. It's exactly what's going to happen to Trump if he can't get this stuff done. Mm-hmm. He's a severely wounded president today.
Back in just a second, more Bill O'Reilly. We'll get into the White House. We'll talk a little bit about Jeff Sessions. An hour from now, we have an amazing guest that is going to take you inside Russia and what Russia is really doing. A phenomenal guest you don't want to miss, coming up in about 45 minutes. And now this, we've been talking this week about all of the risks to the economy. A Yale professor, an economics professor at Yale University, who also a Nobel laureate, saying low volatility paired with questionable price earnings ratio could wipe out a chunk of the stock market's value. This is tail risk. And I am starting to hear this. I mean, it kind of in some ways makes me feel a little better, because when everybody's saying it, usually the mob is wrong. But everybody is talking about this. The stock market is not real, and we have some real volatility. There is a really good paper on this done by David Stockman. He's written a report, Five Threats to the Economy. Now, David Stockman was Ronald Reagan's budget director. I want you to read this. You can get it for free just by calling 866-465-3546, 866-465-3546, or 866-GOLDLINE. And then when you read this, then I want you to call back GOLDLINE. If you see what I see, I want you to call back GOLDLINE and find out about their price protection program. For as little as $2,500, you can get 3 months of price protection. So that means I'm investing $2,500 into gold, and if it goes down over the next 3 months, they're going to make it up with more gold to make sure that I haven't lost a single penny. That price guarantee goes all the way up to $25,000 or more. So if I invest $25,000, I take it out of my IRA or whatever, and I invest it in physical gold for a year. If the price of gold goes down $1, $100, doesn't matter, they're going to make it up with more gold. So I can't lose. Nobody in stocks, bonds, are going to give you that deal. Goldline will right now, because they know they're not going to lose. And neither are you. Goldline. Read their important risk information. Find out if gold or silver is right for you. 866-GOLDLINE. 1-866-GOLDLINE or goldline.com.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Hello, America. Welcome to the program. Bill O'Reilly is with us. Let's go to what the heck is happening with Jeff Sessions, this nonsense back and forth between the president and Jeff Sessions. Jeff responded yesterday, just said, you know, some of this is really hurtful, but I'm just continuing my job. What is he doing, Bill?
I think it's a frustration situation, and I always go back to my theory about rich guys. Rich guys like Trump, the Bushes, the Kennedys, families that have for decades had a lot of assets. They're raised in a different culture. Their lives are different. They don't have to deal with much frustration. They can have pretty much what they want. And the mindset is that things are going to work out. Written about this extensively, that things are going to work out no matter what it is. You know, we're so powerful that things will work out. The Kennedy family, probably the best example of that. So when you get in a situation that Trump is in, where he is being unfairly hammered, I believe, on everything, his frustration boils over and he can't handle the day-to-day pain, because he's never had it before in his entire life. Therefore, rational thought is replaced by emotion. Enter Jeff Sessions. The three things in play. Trump apparently has been told that Sessions should not have even applied for the job of Attorney General if he knew he was going to recuse himself in the Russia investigation.
The Russian investigation wasn't going on at the time. Do we need to bring Marty McFly in with the explanation of the parallel timelines? It's not even, that's not even possible. How is someone selling this to him?
Look, I'm not saying that it happened. I'm saying that's what Trump's being told. And Trump himself said in the interview, okay, they did talk about some kind of Russian stuff. So anyway, that's number one. Number two is the leaks. And that's driving Trump absolutely insane. And he doesn't feel that Sessions has been aggressive enough. Now, Sessions came out this week and says, I'm going to be aggressive. All right. And the third thing is basically that Hillary Clinton, all right, is still an obsession with Donald Trump. I don't know why, because she's done. She's going to come back with a book and say that she lost because of sexism or some crazy thing.
Fine. And he's going to make a big deal out of that book and help her sell even more books.
Probably. But Trump's still obsessed. And now he's saying, well, look, I didn't do anything in Russia, but she did all this, X, Y, and Z. So why isn't Sessions investigating that? Those are the three reasons. So, you know, somebody else would cap it and contain it and say, all right, it might be frustrating, but I'm telling him to investigate the leaks. He is, or he says he is. Hillary, you could do the foundation. You can't go back and relitigate the emails, but you could do the foundation because that's an ongoing concern. And I believe the Clinton Foundation from the jump, and I've said this many times, was an enterprise just to benefit the Clintons.
Oh, it's corrupt to the core.
Right, right. Yeah. So you could do that. And, you know, if Sessions objects to that, then Sessions has got to explain why.
Right.
So. But what it is that Trump, when Trump gets frustrated with someone, you saw that on his program, you're fired. That's what he's used to doing. His whole life he's done it. But now he can't do it. I don't expect Sessions to be fired. Because if he is, then the whole Republican Party is going to walk away from Trump. And Trump's got to know that now. Scaramucci's got to be telling Trump that.
So did you see Ben Sasse's speech yesterday on the floor of the Senate?
No.
To the president? You should go back and read it or watch it. It was tremendous. But he said, Mr. President, if you try a recess appointment
that's right.
Yep. It'll be over. It'll just be over. Right. All right. Back with Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com. BillO'Reilly.com. He apparently has written a couple of books. He used to do a show people I've heard watched. If you liked that show, if you'd like to give this new guy a try, BillO'Reilly.com. You can get his No Spin News every day. BillO'Reilly.com. Back in a minute.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Scaramucci is just a...
Let me ask you a question. Can I ask you a question?
Oh, dear God, what? Bill O'Reilly, what?
Isn't it refreshing to have me on this program on Friday?
No, it's a pain in my ass.
You and your crew different perspectives that you've never thought about.
Because they're wrong. We dismiss them right away.
Most of your guests saying at the end of the day 50 times. Isn't it refreshing to have me here? Come on, tell the truth.
I mean, you are the most delusional man I think I've ever met. Now, Bill, this Scaramucci character, I mean, right out of The Sopranos, this interview that he did, and he says he didn't know, but I trusted a journalist. You what? I mean, come on, man. The things that he said in this interview, he is one of the nastiest guys I wouldn't be in a room with this guy. If this guy is the way he talks when he's just talking, I want nothing to do with him. Is this where our president lives? This is the swamp cleaner?
Okay, number one, Scaramucci lives in my town. All right. I don't really know him. I ran into him, I think, once many years ago. But if you're thinking that this kind of conversation and this kind of language that he's using is not used by most, and I mean that absolutely accurately, most political operatives, and you're living in the land of Oz. I mean, John Podesta, who would have been Hillary Clinton's chief of staff, makes Scaramucci look like Mother Teresa. All right? That's how bad many of these guys are. Now, I'm going to give Scaramucci a pass because he's probably taken with himself with the big position. He's never been in there before.
Ah, good. So we have a rookie with an ego.
We have a rookie.
Sounds like a good combination. Let's keep adding them.
Well, they're all rookies. Come on.
Right, with egos.
Them, you know, they're, yeah, and that's not a good combination.
And money.
And I'm not justifying anything he did, but I'm trying to add perspective to it.
Right.
But what I can't figure out is why you would, why anybody in the White House would talk to the New Yorker. They hate you.
Hello.
All right. Why would you do it? Well, why would you invite the New York Times in, as Trump did last week? Why? I mean, they're never, ever going to be fair or give you any kind of benefit of the doubt. They're always going to find a way to try to destroy you. That disturbs me more than the gutter language.
Yeah, it's not right? The language. Now, it's just this guy is just a bad guy.
No, but it is the language. I mean, we expect some decorum as far as presentation is concerned. And behind the scenes, as I said, they all say, they all talk like that. But you don't talk like that to a reporter who hates you. I mean, it's just insane. This guy couldn't get in, this New Yorker reporter couldn't get into CNN fast enough. I mean, he was like diving through the window. Put me on. You know, it was, I'll set myself on fire if you don't put me on right now.
But Bill, he's
responsible for my death.
If he believed he was off the record, however, and he was saying those things about,
if they all say that,
right? But
you don't talk to a New Yorker reporter, a New York Times reporter, and say it's off the record. They're never gonna. I mean, and I don't believe Scaramucci thought he was off the record anyway.
I
thought he was just being a macho man. Mm-hmm. You put it right, the Soprano.
But he's claiming he thought he was.
Got to get him a little hat and he can strut around.
Yeah. No, he's claiming he was, but that's just so he has some, I wouldn't have done that if I was. He was sending a message with this conversation.
If nothing else, though, wasn't he a leaker?
In a much more authoritative way.
Right.
Look.
But he has, Stu brings up a good point. He has become a leaker himself.
Well, Stu is a genius, number one. So whatever he says, I have to take very, very seriously. Number two, look, there are leaks coming out of the White House, and Trump is driving Trump crazy, and Scaramucci is there to try to stop it. All right, so that's what it is. We'll see if he can stop it. And then now Lance Priebus may be the leaker. Renz Priebus, I'm sorry, may be the leaker. And I don't want the speculation. You know, find out if you're doing it and fire him.
Okay, that's so how do you feel about Donald Trump coming out when the Pentagon is going in another direction just to get a bill passed in the House? He comes out and says, there will never be, we will not accept any transgender people into the military. We know we have 10 people in the military that are serving. There hasn't been any problems. I mean, I don't want to pay for anybody's elective surgery. This surgery should not be anything other than elective, and it should be discouraged as it does nothing to change the suicide rate. People who have dysphoria, they are 46% likely to commit suicide. They have the surgery, they're 45% likely to have suicide. And the younger you get, the higher the number goes for suicide if you've had the surgery. We should not be in this business in the first place. I don't want the I don't want the military a part of any kind of political correct anything. Their job is to kill people faster than anyone else on the earth. I don't care if it's a guy in a skirt. I don't care if it's a guy who looks like Randy Macho Man Savage. I don't care how they get it done, as long as they get it done. What about Trump doing this?
That was very, very, very well put. Okay, here's the deal. You want to know the real story? And this is why you should be thrilled to have me on every Friday. Here's the real story.
We like you for your modesty, honestly. Well, I have you on.
I mean, honesty only goes so far, Ben.
Right, okay.
Okay, here's a real story.
All right.
All right, Trump and his crew in the White House know they're looking terrible on the legislative front. Okay, they know it. So what better way to deflect attention away from that than to rev up your base, which does not want transgendered people in the military, okay, and just throw out a tweet, which is all he did, didn't sign an executive order, didn't order the Pentagon to do anything, throw out a tweet saying, well, they're not going to serve in the military. That deflects the whole thing away, injects emotion for your cause, all right, because your base wants that. Your base is with you on that. And that's exactly why that happened. Thank you very much. Stu, are you there, Stu?
You know, Bill O'Reilly's a genius. I've said it before.
Moscow today is seizing two U.S. properties in Russia because of the sanctions. Things aren't looking good with Russia. Where is this headed?
No, well, you're going to have your guest on, next hour to
what's
going on in there? Look, the sanctions have to happen, and so if they're going to seize whatever they're going to seize, then you look at that and you slap more sanctions on them if you have to. Putin's not going to have a confrontation with the USA. He knows he'll lose that. He'll lose it militarily. He'll lose it economically. There's no win in it for him. He's got a bluster, and that's what this is. He's got a bluster to his base. So I'm going to seize this, that, and the other. Iran does this all day long, all day long. But in the end, Putin's position is not nearly as strong within Russia as he wants you to believe. I mean, there are people in Russia who want him out. And that movement is growing as the economy there gets worse. And these sanctions will hasten the demise of the Russian economy. So if you want to get Putin under control, you got to do this stuff. Congress is smart for doing it. And Putin can bluster all he wants, but he's not nearly as powerful as we are.
Bill Browder is my guest next hour. He was the CEO of Hermitage Capital Management. He was the former hedge fund manager that his partner was Magnitsky, the guy who the Magnitsky Act is named after. His partner was taken in by the FSB and the oligarchs in Russia, beaten, tortured, eventually arrested, and then, an accident happened in prison. They tried to shut him up. This is the guy who is the partner. He has the inside scoop. He has testified in front of Congress, and it looks like the Democrats didn't want him to testify. I think he is completing a tying up the loose ends here on something that I've said for a long time. They were doing this to both Trump and Clinton. Both fell for it. If Clinton would have won, we'd be sitting in exactly the same situation, except we'd be shouting the other side's argument. This is Putin trying to cause chaos, period. Agree or disagree?
That's what Putin does. I agree. That's what Putin does. And that's why he's got to be slapped down when we get the opportunity to do that. He's a bad guy.
Bill O'Reilly, last question. I hear that back to school is around the corner, and I was wondering if you had any gift ideas.
Well, wow. I'm more interested in your vacation plans, Beck. You taking any more time off in August?
You gonna no, I'm staying working.
Oh, you're here, huh?
Yeah.
Excellent. Legends, Lies of Civil War, for anybody who wants to really understand the Civil War but not be bogged down with 900 pages, it's a terrific read, and 9 to 90, ages 9 to 90. Old School, Life in the Same Land, give you a few laughs. Killing a Rising Sun, of course, is perennial. And then we have Killing England, a big Revolutionary War book coming up September 19th with Hillary Clinton.
But you really didn't kill England. England isn't really dead.
No, but it's what we call
a jump the shark. I'm sorry, you were going for
no
something.
Shark. There's no seafood in the book.
How do I find your books? How do I find your books if I wanted to buy one?
Yeah, no, you'll like it, Beck, because it will educate you about our country, and I know you want that.
Yes.
You desperately want it.
BillO'Reilly.com.
All that's available on BillO'Reilly.com.
Thank you very much, Bill. I appreciate it.
All right.
God bless. Have a good weekend.
Interesting interview. I probably the main takeaway is, quote, Stu is a genius, end quote. That's what I took out of the interview. I didn't really get much.
We could go back to the interview. Bill is always wrong. So then we could use both quotes and say, yeah, probably that is the takeaway.
So that doesn't seem ideal for me.
Here's our sponsor this half hour. Just the other week, a Texas woman. She's a mom of six. She is forced to fend off a mugger with her car keys. Her name is Jessica Collins. She got away just with her car keys. What she did is she jammed her car keys repeatedly into the neck of this guy. Thank goodness she had her car keys. Now, here's what most Americans don't realize. Even if you're acting in self-defense, if she would have had a gun and she pulled it out, you probably will also be arrested. Even the most clean-cut cases, there's going to be an investigation. You could be sued in civil court by your attacker or his family. She used the car keys. It is not unthinkable to think that he could come back and sue her and win. This means lawyer fees, bail money, and no victim should ever have to pay. The good news is the USCCA protects the protectors. They're going to be your guide before, during, and after any self-defense incident with a gun or your car keys. They'll be there for you. Go to protectanddefend.com. Get the protection you and your family need for complete peace of mind in a very unpredictable world. It's protectanddefend.com. That's protectanddefend.com.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury. This is
the Glenn Beck Program.
All right, welcome to the program. Interesting perspective today on John McCain, and John McCain, both a hero and a villain. Hero in the 60s and a villain in many ways to the Constitution.
Yeah.
He is, if indeed John McCain, and he is apparently a very vindictive guy, if he indeed did this one vote just to stick it to Donald Trump, how petty. And may your voice reach his ears. It's how petty can you be? You're doing the people's business, are you, John? Was that the people's business?
And I think the overwhelming amount of blame here goes to Congress and not Trump. But if you want to be critical on Trump, two of the three people who were Republicans and voted against this were people that Trump specifically attacked.
Yes.
Both Murkowski and McCain.
Yes.
And, you know, the reports are that, and this comes from also Sullivan, who voted for the Obamacare repeal. He said he got calls from the administration basically threatening to screw with Alaska if they didn't get on board with this. And, you know, Murkowski is as safe as anybody can be. She won a freaking write-in election statewide. She can do whatever she wants. And, you know, you can argue that that pressure is not helpful. His deal-making style may be working against the deals.
Next hour, Bill Browder is on. He just testified in front of Congress. He's remarkable. Truly remarkable. He is a guy who I don't even know what to make of his past. Became a hedge fund guy. He lives over in England. His partner was Magnitsky, the Magnitsky Act.
Magnitsky. It's whatever. Magnet. It starts with magnet. Magnitsky.
Yeah, Magnitsky.
That's how I remember.
That was his partner. The Magnitsky Act is named after him because he was tortured and imprisoned and killed in prison by Putin and the oligarchs over in Russia because he was uncovering how bad things were. Well, his partner, Bill, who was part of this uncovering, would not let it go. and risking his life even today to continue to tell the world exactly what's happening over in Russia. Very credible witness on Wednesday in front of Congress. Some deep questions on what is really going on and what happened at that meeting. He will not speculate on what motives were or what was happening on the Trump side, but he's clear on what the Russians were doing. He's next.
Glenn Beck.
Mercury.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
I'm going to introduce you to somebody that you probably have never heard of, but he is a really important player in everything that is going on in Russia. We have heard of the Magnitsky Act. Who is that even named after? What is that act? Where did that come from? This guy. This is the guy that got that done in an effort to stop deep corruption in Russia. He has firsthand knowledge. His partner was Magnitsky. And I say was because Putin and his cronies took care of him for uncovering corruption in Russia with our guest, Bill Browder. A look at what's really going inside of Russia and how this ties to both Hillary and Trump begins right now.
Of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Our guest, Bill Browder, is the man responsible for spearheading the Magnitsky Act. Magnitsky was Browder's lawyer, and the two of them uncovered a $230 million corruption scheme involving Russian government officials. Magnitsky was jailed, tortured, murdered in prison. Browder vowed to get justice. The Magnitsky Act was his initiative, and it became the sanctions package on Russia that punishes the oligarchs. This kicked off a geopolitical shockwave, but there's a lot more than just this. Wednesday, the Senate Judiciary Committee in the Russian investigation into U.S. election meddling, the Senate Democrats blocked his testimony by invoking the two-hour rule, which is rarely, rarely used, to protest the Republican efforts to repeal Obamacare. Was that really why they used that, or was it because they wanted to block his testimony? Testimony on Fusion GPS, that is the company that produced the Trump dossier, but was also the same company that had been hired by one of the biggest Democratic supporters as well. Welcome to the program, Bill Browder. How are you, sir?
I'm doing really well. Great to be here.
Thank you. It's nice to talk to you, and I appreciated your testimony in front of Congress, the way you constantly responded, "I can't think for Donald Trump or his team. I don't know. What I do know is how Russia thinks." And I appreciated the fact, even as a guy who doesn't support Donald Trump, that you were not going in for political heads. So thank you for that.
It's my duty in this situation just to try to get to the truth about what Russia is up to and what Putin is up to, which is something that affects, it's a totally nonpartisan issue when it comes to Russia.
So listening to your testimony, I believe We've been doing a lot of homework, and I've been working on Russia things and trying to expose my audience to what Russia is doing for the last probably 3 or 4 years. And I warned way before this election that Donald Trump and his minions were trying to cause chaos in the entire Western world. And they'll play all sides. They don't care. They just want chaos and a destruction of what they call the, what is it, the people of the sea, the Atlantic states, the NATO states.
Right.
I believe, and I would like to start here, I believe, not knowing truly what happened in that meeting with Donald Trump Jr. and everybody else, that they may have wanted dirt and probably were told, we got all kinds of stuff on Hillary Clinton. But they could have gone in to a meeting and had Velenitskaya, the Russian woman, just read nursery rhymes, because Putin got what he wanted with that meeting, and that is doubts in people's minds on both Clinton, the Democrats, and the Republicans, and we're all fighting each other now. Do you think that's plausible?
Well, I think we might be reading a little bit too much into Putin's. Putin is a great tactician. I wouldn't argue that he's a great strategist, and that sounds like a sort of a strategic, a long-term strategic thing. I actually think it's what his. I mean, and I do know a lot about what he's thinking and what he's doing because I've been sort of at odds with him in a very serious way for the last 8 years. I think that he he's very blunt and kind of basic in terms of what he wants. And when that lady, Natalia Veselnitskaya, went into that meeting, it's pretty clear what she was going into that meeting for, which was she had something that was on the top of Vladimir Putin's agenda, which was getting rid of these sanctions, these asset freezing and visa banning sanctions named after my lawyer, Sergei Magnitsky. Putin really wanted to get rid of that, and they had a long and a wide campaign to do that, and I think that they spotted Donald Trump. He was just the Republican nominee at that point. They weren't having much success with Obama. Obama was just hadn't done what they wanted, and so they said, okay, well, this guy is saying nice things. Well, let's go and see if we can. You know, do something with these guys. And as you mentioned, I don't know what the Trump guys were thinking when they had that meeting, but I sure know what the Russians were thinking, which was here's something important to us that we want to do if your dad becomes the president.
So tell me, because I don't think people understand Russia and its level of corruption and how brutal it is. You know, we think, oh, well, you're dealing with some people, but everybody's corrupt. Not like Russia. Can you give idea of what that means?
Well, let's just talk about this case that I've been involved with. So this is called the Magnitsky case. Sergei Magnitsky, as you mentioned at the beginning, was my lawyer. He uncovered this vast $230 million government corruption scheme. And he thought that, and this was a scheme where a bunch of government officials were stealing $230 million from their own country. And Sergei thought, this is wrong. This is my country. I don't want them stealing this money from my country. And as a good patriot and a good citizen, he went to the law enforcement agency there, and he gave sworn testimony against the officials involved and waited for those officials to be arrested and prosecuted. But instead of those officials being arrested and prosecuted, he got arrested. They put him in jail. They tortured him viciously for 358 days, and they killed him at the age of 37, leaving a wife and two children. Now, I wish that the story had stopped there in terms of the deaths. Then another guy comes forward after Sergei has been killed. His name is Alexander Parapolichny. Alexander was not a good guy. He was one of the bad guys in Russia who had fallen out with the other bad guys. He shows up in London, fleeing Russia. And he says, listen, these people I used to work with, they're really bad guys. Here's the bank statements showing where they got the money. And so we took that stuff to the Swiss prosecutor because the money was in Switzerland. The Swiss prosecutor froze the accounts and opened up a big money laundering investigation. And then all of a sudden, this guy drops dead at the age of 44 in a suburb of London. And it's since been shown that he had a poison in his stomach. And it goes on and on. There are seven people who are dead connected to this case.
Why aren't you dead? Why aren't you dead?
They'd like me dead. They've threatened me. They've threatened me on a number of occasions. If they could get away with it, if they could kill me and get away with it, I would already be dead. The only thing stopping them is that they don't know exactly how they can get away with it.
So you said something interesting in your testimony. I think it was Lindsey Graham who said, you know, Putin will do whatever he can to get away with. And you responded, I think he'll do whatever he can or wants, even if he can't get away with it. What do you mean by that?
Well, basically, I mean, you know, he kind of goes around the world doing whatever he wants. I mean, look, he invaded Ukraine. It wasn't like he said it wasn't us. It's just a bunch of guys on vacation. Well, it turns out that it was them. You know, they shot down a civilian aircraft, the Malaysian aircraft going over Ukraine, killing 298 civilians. And they say it wasn't us. It's been proven it was them. They go and carpet
bomb. Wait. This is kind of new.
Was it proven to be them?
We knew that was speculation. It has been proven now since?
Yeah. I mean, everybody knows that it's them. It's have all the evidence. Of course it's them. There's no question.
Okay.
I mean, they still don't admit it, right? They don't admit it. Just all the evidence points to them.
Yeah. The Russians deny that. They said, we didn't invade Ukraine. We didn't shoot down that plane. Right. But we're not bombing civilians in Syria.
Oh, that plane. Yeah, you're right. That plane. Yes. Yeah. I was thinking of another plane. You're exactly right.
You know, there's two Malaysian planes. Yes. The one that got shot down going from Amsterdam to Kuala Lumpur.
Correct.
Got shot down over Ukraine.
Correct.
298 people. 200 of them were Dutch. And these Dutch people, this is the Dutch equivalent of September 11th in terms of the number of people killed per capita by a terrorist. Putin did that.
Wow.
No question.
So how are you feeling about how the right played footsie a little bit with Putin, then the left is now playing footsie with Putin, or was the left, and now the right, and I'm talking about the people, the right is now starting to say, oh, no, Putin's not so bad. He's just kind of like us. And, yeah, they got some problems, but it's a different category entirely. How do you respond to the American people?
It's shocking. Anyone who believes that Putin is a normal human being. This man is a cold-blooded killer. I've seen it with my own eyes, and it goes on and on and on. And it's just ignorance. I mean, anybody who thinks that somehow we have any shared situation with him, any shared values, any shared interests, it's just misinformation. It's wrong. It's just and you know, part of my goal is to try to inform people. I'm glad you're giving me this opportunity to tell the story on your show, because people who take that view just do not have the information, and they need to have that information.
So I want to get into a little bit to Fusion GPS. These are the people that came out, and they were the ones that produced the dossier on Donald Trump and the golden showers and all that stuff. This is a really bad organization, and both sides of the aisle in America are dealing with these people, and I don't understand it. And I'd like you to try to, if you can, take us through a little bit of that when we come back. Our sponsor this half hour is ZipRecruiter. Making the wrong hire will and can probably cost your company lots of money. I think it is 15 times the salary. You hire the wrong person, it's 15 times the salary, the yearly salary that they make is the cost of damage and getting them out of the business. You got to make the right hire. ZipRecruiter has powerful technology that efficiently matches the right people to your job better than anybody else. And that's what makes ZipRecruiter different. Unlike the job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It goes out and it finds them. Over 80% of the jobs posted on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in 24 hours. So there's no juggling emails or calls to your office. You're not waiting for them to roll in. ZipRecruiter is going out to all of the job sites, posting them all and with one click, and then finding them on those sites and organizing them in an easy-to-use ZipRecruiter dashboard. Try it for free and see why we as a company use it. ZipRecruiter.com, ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Beck.
I will raise my voice. I will hold your hand. Because we are one.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program. 888-727-BECK.
Bill Browder is with us, CEO of Hermitage Capital Management, lives in London, if I'm not mistaken, Bill. His lawyer was Magnitsky from the Magnitsky Act. That was the thing that apparently Donald Trump Jr. and his people were meeting with the Russians about. They say it was adoption. They don't care about adoption. At least the Russians don't care about adoption. This was about the repeal of the Magnitsky Act. He has firsthand knowledge on all of this. Let me start here with you, Bill. Fusion GPS. This is the organization that apparently had a dossier on Donald Trump, you know, the whole golden shower thing, all of that crap. It has been apparently, debunked and said most of it is not real. I want to not focus on the dossier, but I want to focus on Fusion GPS. Are they an arm of the Russian government?
Well, I'm not sure whose arm they are of, but I have my own experience with Fusion GPS when they were hired by the Russian government, or I should say by a Russian government official to basically run a disinformation campaign against the Magnitsky Act and against me in Washington. They were effectively going out last year. A guy named Glenn Simpson, who is the founder of GPS, he was running around meeting with and discussing with journalists, trying to get them to write stories to say that Sergei Magnitsky, my lawyer, had not been murdered, that he died of natural causes. Glenn Simpson was trying to get the journalists to write Vladimir Putin's version of the story to whitewash what the Russian government had done, being paid for by the Russian government.
So who are they exactly, Fusion GPS?
Glenn Simpson and Peter Fritsch are both former Wall Street Journal reporters. They left, I don't know, a few years back, set up this firm called Fusion GPS. They call it opposition research, which sounds sort of legitimate, researching people's backgrounds. But what I saw them doing to me, and I'm not the only victim of this, is that they were effectively disinformation smear campaigning, okay. Spreading false information to try to cast doubt on me and on Sergei Magnitsky. And I'm not the only one. There's another human rights activist from Latin America named Thor Halverson, and Thor was trying to expose corruption in Venezuela, and these people were Fusion GPS and Glenn Simpson were hired by the Venezuelan oligarchs to smear Thor and his human rights activist colleagues.
So if they are acting on behalf of Venezuela oligarchs and Russia and Putin, why aren't they registered under the Foreign Agent Registration Act?
Well, that was my question as well. I had the exact same question. After they ran this big campaign last spring and last summer, I went and checked into the database to see if they had registered and any of the other people, because it wasn't just them. It was a whole team of people hired by the Russians, lots of Americans involved, and none of them had registered. And so I wrote and just so you understand, you're required to register under the law. There's something called the Foreign Agent Registration Act. It was put in place to prevent Nazi propaganda from being spread in America during the Second World War. It's very important. And these guys hadn't registered. And so I wrote a criminal complaint to the Counterintelligence Division of the Department of Justice saying that these people didn't comply with FARA, the Foreign Agent Registration Act. I filed it in the summer of last year. And as far as I could tell, there doesn't seem to be any big investigation going on. And so...
So here's the question, though. I mean, we have the Democrats supporting paying into Fusion, the biggest Democratic supporter paying into Fusion. We have the FBI hiring GPS Fusion. You can't tell me that the FBI isn't aware of who these people are.
I have to take a break,
and I don't want to cut you off in the middle of that. I'm sorry, I lost track of the clock. Hold on to that answer and give it to me fully, and then we go into what you think happened in that office with Donald Trump Jr., and especially Paul Manafort. He's the real troublesome character here. Back in just a second.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So the Magnitsky bill that we've heard a lot of talk of, but most people don't know it other than the sanctions against Russia, it passed 419-3. So it is...
Well, that's the new sanctions bill against Russia, but still, this is bipartisan.
This is confirming that. It is bipartisan. The people in Congress at least seem to know who Donald Trump is. At least they're acting like it. This all leads really to the heart of all of our governments and to chaos that I believe Russia is trying to sow all over the world. Let's go to Fusion GPS, which is the company that came up with this dossier on Donald Trump. The FBI has used it. The Democrats have used it. Do they know who these people are?
I would assume that they don't, just based on the fact that anyone engaging with them should certainly know the background of what they did, that they tried to do with me and what they've tried to do with this other human rights activist, Thor Halvorsen. These people are professional liars, essentially. And so, I don't have any insight into the credibility of the Trump dossier. I understand that the person who he subcontracted is quite well regarded, but Glenn Simpson is a professional liar. He has gone out and lied on behalf of Vladimir Putin and on behalf of some Venezuelan oligarchs. And that's to try to discredit human rights activists. And that's not a good thing.
Okay, so let's go over, because Donald Trump Jr. finally admitted that, yes, he met with Natalia Valitnitskaya and others. First, it was just her. They were talking adoption. Then it came out as more. First, let's start with her. Who is she?
So Natalia Valitnitskaya, so this is the lady who showed up at Trump Tower, the Russian lawyer. She didn't go there on her own volition, on her own initiative. She went there being paid for and funded by a family in Russia. It's a family called the Katsiv family, K-A-T-S-Y-V. The Katsiv family is headed by a man named Pyotr Katsiv. He was the former transportation minister of the Moscow region, which is a region the size of France. He's now a vice president in the second most important government, Russian government-owned company called Russian Railways. And he's a very wealthy man, and I should say his family is very wealthy. And he's a senior member of the Putin regime. She was there in New York on his dime. He was paying for her time and effort. And she was there with one specific ask. Let's not... mince words here. She was not talking about adoption. There's nothing to her meeting had nothing to do with adoption.
Yes,
it's a total red herring to be throwing out this adoption nonsense. She was there to talk about trying to repeal a piece of legislation which is on the books in America, which punishes Russian torturers and murderers and makes sure that they can't use the American banking system or come and travel to America. That's what she was there to do. And that was where she was there to ask the son of the possible future next president of the United States for that particular favor.
Okay, we know this is true because of the documents that Donald Trump Jr. himself was forced to release by the New York Times, that they were more than eager to hear the dirt and to accept that the Russian government was for them. They got this really through a friend, the Algalarov family. Now, the way this is being spun is that Donald Trump was a hapless dupe, and this Algalarov is not a bad guy. And so what if he has some dealings with the Russian government? This is just a guy who's a businessman that Donald Trump knows. Is that true?
Well, you know, I don't know what was going on the side of the Trumps. I honestly don't. I mean, if anyone had done any even basic Google search on this woman, they would have found out that her main public claim to fame is representing the same family as they were being indicted by the U.S. Department of Justice for money laundering in connection with the $230 million that Magnitsky discovered. I mean, that's not a particularly good resume filler to get a meeting. And so either they didn't do a basic Google search, or they did and just decided to hold their nose when they had the meeting.
But let me play devil's advocate here with you. So what? I mean, John Adams, was representing the British, and that's very unpopular. What is the problem with a defendant? No matter, you know, Al Capone needed an attorney. What's the problem?
Well, there's no problem with him needing an attorney, but there's a problem if Al Capone had met with a presidential candidate to say, hey, could you get me off of my crimes? That would be a little bit of a different story.
So tell me about Algalarov. Do you know anything about him?
I only know about him from what I read in the paper. He's another Russian oligarch that was friends probably with Mr. Kotsev because these guys travel in packs. But I don't have any specific knowledge about him.
Okay. So when that meeting happened, I believe Paul Manafort was in that meeting, was he not? Paul Manafort is a guy that I've been trying to explain to our audience for quite some time, is deeply in with the Russians. You want to give a little bit of background on him and then what he had to have known about this meeting?
Well, so Paul Manafort has a very dubious background. He's worked for a lot of kleptocrats and dictators around the world. But the one that's most relevant to our conversation is that he was working for this guy. His name is Viktor Yanukovych, who at one time was the president of Ukraine. And now people often think of Ukraine and Russia being at war. He was the Russians' puppet in Ukraine. So he was Putin's guy in Ukraine. And effectively, the reason that Ukraine and Russia are at war now is because the Ukrainian people, when they discovered how much money he stole from the country, they drove him out. He had to flee in the middle of the night on a helicopter. And then the next day, they discovered his compound with like gold-plated taps and a garage with 120 classic cars and duck ponds and all sorts of crazy stuff. This guy was a total, absolute crook. He was Putin's crook, and he was the boss of Paul Manafort, and Paul Manafort's job was to keep him in power.
So when the emails, which he was on the email chain, was going around, and a meeting was asked, and he saw Natalia Valadnitskaya, her name there, and what they were going to talk about, any doubt in your mind that Paul Manafort knew exactly what this meeting was, who was behind it, and that it's a meeting that nobody in a presidential campaign should be having?
you know, that's what it looks like on the surface. But I don't really want to get into sort of trying to define his state of mind. I don't know what he was thinking or not thinking.
Is there any way that he didn't know who if he read the emails, that he didn't know that this was Russian government coming in?
Well, the emails suggested that for sure. Right. I mean, so let's put it this way. If I had read the emails, I would have known that. But I don't know what he was thinking. And it would be wrong for me to put my own thoughts in his mind.
You tracked a lot of this corruption here to the United States. And a lot of this money has come to the United States. Do the companies here in the U.S., are they aware of what's going on? The FBI, DOJ, anywhere in the U.S. government, anywhere anybody doing anything about the massive money laundering that's going on with the Russians here with U.S. companies?
Tiny bit. I mean, we identified some of the money from the murder of Sergei Magnitsky, and we alerted the Justice Department, and they opened up a very big criminal case. It had a lot of lawyers working on it, and eventually settled for $6 million. But it was a tough and strong team from the DOJ. Having said that, let me answer the question more broadly, which is that effectively all Russia and a lot of other crooks and kleptocrats are getting away with murder as far as the financing and financial flows in the United States go, and other countries as well. I mean, I would say that 99.9% of dirty money goes to where it's intended to go without being disrupted in any way.
Years ago, I was on CNN, and I did an interview after, I can't remember his name, he was killed by Putin in England. They gave him some polonium, 212 or 220 or whatever it is.
Litvinenko was his name.
Yes, thank you. And I was talking to a guy who was here in the United States. He was also a guy who was Putin was after, and he gave me a long list of all the people that had been killed around. About 6 months later, he died in a car accident. And I've always wondered if that was Putin or if that was a car accident. The people around you are dying, and you're continuing. Have you made peace with this?
Have I made peace with basically my psychology is that Sergei Magnitsky, who was my lawyer, was in a much graver danger, much more tenuous situation, and he never sacrificed his integrity, and he fought for truth and justice and for his loyalty to me, and he died doing that, and I'm in a, you know, I may be in danger, but I'm in a much safer situation.
Do you have the 24 security? And I mean, have you ever seen any direct attempt coming your way or threat coming your way?
Yeah, absolutely. In a lot of different ways. And the threats are coming my way on a regular basis. I mean, the prime minister of Russia at the World Economic Forum in Davos was asked by a number of prominent journalists, what do you have to say about the Magnitsky case? And he said, it's too bad that Sergei Magnitsky is dead and Bill Browder is still alive and running around. That's the prime minister of Russia saying that.
Wow. Bill, we will add you to our prayers. And I appreciate the way you've handled yourself in front of Congress and here, not wanting to just get involved in the politics. I've given you a couple of opportunities and you took me up on none of them. And I really appreciate that. Thank you for your integrity on this and your willingness to stand up in facing your own personal danger. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
You bet. Bye-bye. Bill Browder. He is the CEO of Hermitage Capital Management.
Seems like a stand-up guy.
He does. He's got a weird past. A very weird past.
I don't know much about his past.
Jason.
He renounced his citizenship, right?
Yeah, he announced his American citizenship.
Oh, why?
I'm not. Years and years ago.
That would have been an interesting question. I didn't realize.
I would like to have him on again. And we'll ask him that. But I'd like to know that he is also, at one point, I think he was a communist, wasn't he?
No, his grandfather was.
That's right. His grandfather was a communist.
The head of the party, actually.
Communist Party USA.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. So,
years ago.
I mean, jeez. He's got a very different, and now to be the head of a, you know, a capital fund, a hedge fund is really quite interesting. He's got quite a life story to tell. And this is just another turn in it. But we have much more. This actually, full disclosure to you, this is actually just some research that we're doing on a much larger story that we hope to have finished by the middle of September and be able to put all of this together on a massive chalkboard so you can understand all of the pieces of the Russia story. Because I am totally convinced it doesn't matter who was elected. Anyone who is willing, and both Clinton and the Trump family, both willing to play footsies with the Russians, it doesn't matter. If Donald Trump would have lost, Hillary Clinton would have been here, and we would have had the same kind of conversation that we're having now, and we all just would have switched chairs. We all would have been saying, oh, this has to be investigated. This is treason. We would have been saying it. Because Donald Trump won, they're saying it. We need to find a way to come to the truth where we're both sides saying the same thing. And the first thing you have to get to is Putin is evil. He is a stone-cold killer. And he is trying to cause chaos in the West and correct what he says is the biggest mistake in 20th century history and bring back the Soviet Empire. Now this, when you spend summer with your family and friends, hopefully you're on a beautiful beach someplace and burglars are not inside of your house. Burglars love this time of year because you're gone. And for a limited time only, somebody can be watching your home. $100 off SimpliSafe special summer package. This is their biggest summer sale ever. It has everything you need to protect your home. It's an arsenal of security sensors. It will secure your doors and your windows. And your SimpliSafe system comes with a panic button, a blaring extra siren, and a wireless connection to authorities and police dispatch. So I want you to call now. $14.99 a month is for professional monitoring. No contract. You own the system and you get $100 off. Their biggest summer sale ever. Check it out, simplysafebeck.com. Sale ends July 31st, simplysafebeck.com.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
There's some really important stories we just never got to today. First of all, there is the Australian spider story at glennbeck.com.
Oh.
This story, I couldn't even touch my screen. It was so creepy. It's this couple goes out in Australia and they go and they open up their barbecue. They're going to go cook in the barbecue. And there's a spider that crawls out from behind it and goes on the patio door. Oh, my gosh. I would denounce my citizenship as an Australian if they had spiders like that. You have to see it at glennbeck.com. Also, something called Atomic Blonde is opening up this weekend, getting good reviews. The emoji movie.
0% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Zero. Zero.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.